Okay, so today I'm looking at the topic, I am the Good Shepherd, which is a saying of Jesus and might be very, very familiar to you. I don't know if you remember last time I spoke about this, about a month ago, I asked, what kind of animal do you think you are? And did you remember that? I played this game with my children and I rather pretentiously said, well, I'm an eagle. And then I think I said, my children said, no, Dad, you're not. You're one of these. You are a gorilla. Now, I don't think many of us would choose this animal to represent ourselves. But Jesus said we are like sheep. That's what he said. And the reason for that, I think, well, there are lots of reasons, but one reason is that sheep need a shepherd to follow. Because left to their own devices, sheep wander off and get into trouble. And we all follow someone to some degree. People follow celebrities. People follow politicians, especially in America at the moment. I used to follow Arnold Schwarzenegger, believe it or not. I wanted to have a body like that. And biceps like that. And we all follow people to some degree or another. My wife follows this person, Lou Fellingham, on a Wednesday morning when I'm at coffee drop-in or just before. And it's called Wednesday Worship. And she listens every Wednesday morning to this live worship. And my wife can get rather annoyed with me if I keep walking in the room and asking questions. I actually asked her quickly, I asked her, how much do I annoy you on a scale of 1 to 10? And she said, well, when you interrupt my worship, 225. We're going to talk about following Jesus, because he is the only person worth following. All other people ultimately will let you down. All other people, other shepherds, they will take you so far, but they will disappoint. Some will even be thieves or robbers, and they don't care for you really. So we're going to be talking about Jesus as the ultimate good shepherd, the person you really should follow. But before we get onto it, I want to dismantle perhaps your idea of a shepherd. Maybe when you think of a shepherd, you think of that sort of person with a tweed jacket and green wellies from the program All Creatures Great and Small, with green rolling hills. Well, that's not the image from Scripture. The image of a shepherd from the Bible is much more like this. A shepherd in first century Palestine is a brave fighting man. He has to fight wolves, jackals, possibly lions even, and bears and things like that. And it's not green rolling hills, it's stony, rocky, sandy pasture, quite hard to find food for the sheep. Plus, he really, really, really cares for the sheep, because sheep were not used primarily for meat. Okay, sometimes they were for the temple and sometimes for special occasions, but on the whole, they were used for wool and milk. So the shepherd really looked after them their whole life, and he loved his sheep. So that's the kind of shepherd we're looking at. Who to follow, though? Now, around the time of Jesus, when he started teaching, there were plenty of people to follow. There were people saying, I'll lead you in a rebellion against the Romans. And often these charismatic leaders ended up getting arrested by the Romans and executed. Or they were discovered to be false and blasphemous or heretics. And so at the time of Jesus, the crowds, when he started speaking, were asking, well, who should we follow? Is this shepherd Jesus, is he special? What makes him so good? Is he really worth following? And you have to understand that the people at that time had been waiting 500 years as a nation for the Messiah, God's perfect shepherd king. So Jesus, he really upset the apple cart by bringing this saying that I am the good shepherd, because it meant a lot more to them than it would to us. So when he started talking, saying I am the good shepherd, in the crowd there was a mixed reaction. This guy was happy. You see that happy man? Do you know why he was happy? because he used to be blind. And Jesus had healed a blind man. So he was happy because he could now see. But also in the crowd, there were the grumpy lot. The religious, the Pharisees, the priests. Why were they grumpy? Well, they were grumpy because A, he had healed this guy on the day of rest, the Sabbath. You're not allowed to heal people on the day of rest. It's just the not the done thing. They were angry because of that. They were also angry because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, I don't know if you realize, by saying that, he was insulting them. Because he was basically implying, you lot are bad shepherds. In fact, earlier he had said, all those that have come before me were thieves and robbers. So the Pharisees are thinking, hang on a minute, we're supposed to be the shepherds of God's people. Are you saying we're bad shepherds? And maybe Jesus had in mind the prophecy of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, where God predicted there would be bad shepherds. Let me read it to you briefly. This is hundreds of years before. Ezekiel said, or God speaking, woe to you, shepherds of Israel. That would have been the kings. It would have been the religious leaders, the priests, and later the Pharisees, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed those who are ill or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Look at the way they treat this blind man. They would rather this blind man stay blind because it's the religious day of the Sabbath. They treat the sheep badly. And Jesus is saying, not you guys, me, the good shepherd. So they were angry, but there was a further reason why they were getting angry. It's because he is not just saying, I'm a better shepherd, but I'm the ultimate shepherd. I am the one you've all been waiting for the last 500 years. In fact, when he said, I am, he was actually using God's language, because God said to Moses, I am who I am. He's basically saying, I'm God in the flesh. And these religious leaders are like, they're like red rags to a bull. And the word good can mean beautiful. He's a beautiful shepherd. It doesn't mean he looked nice. It just means who he is a beautiful person. What he does is a beautiful thing. Jesus is beautiful. And all the famous shepherds in history are basically dummy runs. They're dummy runs. They're not the real McCoy. This shepherd, what he's saying is, I'm the real deal. I'm the ultimate Messiah. I'm the shepherd king. I mean, look, if you look in your Bibles, there are different shepherds throughout the Bible. And all of them were imperfect. They were all pointing to the ultimate shepherd king. And here's Jesus saying, I'm the guy. No wonder they were angry. You've got Abel. Abel was a shepherd. You've got Moses. Moses was a shepherd at the beginning. And then he guided the people through the wilderness like a shepherd. David was a really high up shepherd, wasn't he? A shepherd who became a king. And Jesus, he's saying, I'm the ultimate one. So, what makes Jesus, the good shepherd, so good? Why is he worth following more than anyone else today? Well, here are three reasons. We're going to look at three reasons why it's amazing to follow Jesus. That's three reasons. Reason number one, Jesus won't abandon the sheep. That's you. Jesus won't abandon you through thick and thin. That's number one. Reason number two, Jesus knows the sheep. He knows you. That's why he's worth following. And reason number three, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. It's pretty basic stuff this morning. But number one, Jesus won't abandon the sheep. This is what he said. in verse 12, he said, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." When you don't care for something, you're quick to abandon it. Did you know the British Army in Afghanistan abandoned 3,000 military vehicles and thousands of military backpacks? And they said, "Well, we're a big firm." They said, "We're a big firm, the British Army." And they were very quick to abandon it because they didn't really own it, the soldiers. And if I was to give my car keys to my daughter, Lydia, now she doesn't own the car, I'm going to be a little bit concerned, but I hope that because she's my daughter, she will look after it a bit better than the army did. Hopefully. She wants to learn to drive. Just warning you. She also may want to borrow some of my camping equipment because she's doing the Duke of Edinburgh Award. And I hope that she will look after it. There's always a bit of a risk when the person using the thing doesn't actually own the thing. But I want to just say that Jesus is saying, "I own the sheep," not in a oppressive way, but in a way that absolutely love and devoted to the sheep because they're mine. I don't treat you like an object that doesn't belong to me. I own you and I love you because I love you because I own you and I own you because I love you. Now, I've got two things that I own and I really, really love. My two kittens. Now, I own them, so I will go to great lengths to never abandon them, even though they are pretty difficult. I mean, these two, every time I change the litter tray, they poo in it immediately. When I'm making the fish, a fish stuff in a bowl, they'll knock it out of my hand and into the toaster. This morning, one tried to jump out of the top floor bedroom window and nearly killed itself. A couple of nights ago, one jumped out the top window of the kitchen and went off into the garden in the dark. They've scratched my armchair to pieces, my nice new armchair in my office where the pastor's meant to do his study. It's all scratched to bits. And I can't remember, there's a lot of other things they do. They're real scoundrels, but I love them. I care for them. I'm absolutely committed to them, no matter what they do to me, really. But the Pharisees, you see, they were like hired hands. They weren't really caring for the people. They were just in it for themselves. They wanted position. They wanted prestige. They wanted power. They didn't care about the sheep. They didn't care about the blind man. I don't care if he's healed. And it's very, very sad that when Pilate was going to crucify Jesus, and Pilate said to these Pharisees, "Here's your king. Here's God's king. Do you want me to crucify your king?" And they said, "We have no king but Caesar." They cared more about favor with Rome than about God's king. And isn't that true today? When there's a scandal, like in politics, how quick are politicians to distance themselves and blame someone else or send a spokesperson to face the wolves? To face the press. How quick are some church leaders when there's a scandal in perhaps a big church, for example? They pretend that they had nothing to do with it. They don't own the problem. And what Jesus is saying is, you Pharisees, you're just running at any problem. It's complete self-centeredness. And Jesus is not like the Greek gods. You know, I don't know if I had to look this up. I don't normally do this, but Greek gods, you know, people like Zeus, Mercury, you know, these, they're not real gods. Do you know what they did in the Greek mythology? They would have a favorite person for a while, but then if that person did something untoward, they would completely abandon them. They would abandon them. The Roman gods did the same, although they're not real gods. But Jesus will never abandon his sheep. In fact, in Ezekiel, if you read on, it says this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, I will look after my sheep. I hope you're hearing that promise this morning. You might be facing terrible problems, fears, worries, sicknesses, disappointments, trials. God is saying, I will look after you. I will look after my sheep. God himself will look after you. When you go into a dark valley and there are wolves, you know, the wolves could be disappointment in your job or disappointment in your family or sickness or fear or suffering. Who better to be with than Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Who better to trust than Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in the dark valley? There's no one better. He will never abandon his sheep. That's point one. Point two, Jesus knows the sheep. Let me read to you verse 14 and 15, or part of it. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That is pretty strong words. So let me ask you a question a minute. Who knows you the best? Who knows you the best? For me, it would be my wife. She knows, I'm surprised she's still with me, but I told you about that card she gave me once, didn't I? When it said, I love you more than you annoy me, and that's a lot. My wife is wonderful. She's wonderful to put up with me. But who knows you the best? Okay. Probably our wives, possibly our parents. But what about if the king, King Charles, I mean, I don't know what you think of King Charles, but imagine if King Charles knew you inside out, knew all your preferences, knew all your likes, knew everything about you. I mean, you may not like King Charles, you may be anti-monarchy or pro-monarchy, I don't know. But what if he knew everything about you? How would you feel? Well, Jesus is the king and he knows everything about you. In the UK, when you want a farmer to identify sheep, they have to put something in the ear. It's called an electronic tag with a little identification number. And that's about the only relationship a farmer has with a modern sheep, a number in the ear. And I actually worked on a farm once and there was a sheep with no ears. And they didn't know what to do with it. So the farmer, he wanted to remain in the EU. So he called the sheep Brexit. I'm not making a statement, by the way, about Brexit. But modern sheep, right, they don't have any relationship except maybe the tag. But in the ancient world, the shepherd would know the sheep very, very intimately because he spent so much time with it. And because it was for wool and milk, it wasn't for meat. He would call it names like long tail or grey ear or flossy. He would know all about the characteristics. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Don't you think it's amazing where Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father? I mean, that is, how well does God the Father know Jesus the Son? Do you believe God knows you that well and still loves you and still goes to the cross for you? I think it's incredible. The Bible is full of promises that God really, really knows you. You may not like yourself, but God thinks you're wonderful. God thinks you're worth hanging on a cross for. God thinks that his life is less precious than your life. Do you believe that? The Bible, look at what the Bible says. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Then in Psalm 139, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I mean, wow. Do you believe God knows you that well and still loves you and still goes to the cross and still won't abandon you? He loves you. God will love you and knows you when you were he knew you when you were a baby. He knew you before you were a baby. He knows you in your worst moments. When you've done the worst things, he knows you in your best moments. He will know you when you get older and older until your final dying day. And he will know you beyond the grave in Christ. Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors, he wrote this. To be loved but not known is superficial. To be known but not loved is a nightmare. Only Jesus knows us to the bottom and loves us to the sky. He went to the cross knowing everything about you. And the reverse is true. You can start to know the Lord as well. There's a promise here. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep can know me. You can know Jesus Christ, maybe only dimly and faintly in this life, but you can know him through the scriptures. You can know him through prayer. You can know him as you come here. And that's why I chose that other verse. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And then the other verse I chose, "God is faithful, who has called you." He's called you into fellowship with his Son. That means into knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, as it is prophesied in Jeremiah, "They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." You can know the Lord because you are one of his sheep. It's said by Jesus. You don't have to live a life where God is simply some random remote being. You can start to know him a little bit in this life. Saint Augustine wrote these words. He said, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." You were made to know God and to be known by God. Okay. Christians can also know, listen, and obey the shepherd's voice. Jesus said in verse 14, they know his voice. He says in verse 16, they will listen to my voice. And then in John 15, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." You know, Jesus is a king, and a king comes to command us. You might not like that idea, but he doesn't treat you like a skivvy or a little servant. He says, "I haven't called you servants or slaves. I've called you friends." Jesus wants to be your friend, but also your king, and command you. And we are to obey his voice, but he does it in a heart of friendship. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And just to encourage you briefly, Tony mentioned the international lunch here next week. Please come if you are able to. But Jesus said these words in this passage. He said that he knew sheep from every nation, you know. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen." And what he meant was, I know sheep that aren't Jewish. Because the sheep pen is the Jewish nation. And he said, "I know sheep from other countries." And at the international lunch, we're going to have people from Holland, people from other Poland, South Africa, maybe you might leave some food behind. You know, we've got people here from Sri Lanka. There are people from different nations that Jesus knows. And he knew you. He called you. He knew you in whatever country you were born. I don't know if you were born in a different country. He knew you. And he called you to know himself as one of his sheep. Okay, my last point. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Okay. Now, you may find that a strange concept. Why would a shepherd need to die for his sheep? Well, there are two reasons to begin with. One is he dies for you because he won't abandon you. Another reason he dies for you is because he knows you. and you really mean a lot to him. But there's a third reason why he dies for you. It's because sheep have a sin problem. Sheep go astray. Sheep wander, and the shepherd loves them. And the only way to deal with sin is through the cross. Jesus dying, the shepherd dying for you, is the only way to solve the sin problem in the sheep. Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 53. I'm just going to pick a couple of verses from chapter 53, between verses 6 and 8. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's the shepherd, the iniquity of us all. And then it says, he, that's the shepherd, was led like a lamb to the slaughter. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. So this is what happens. The shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb. The shepherd who looks after the sheep becomes the lamb of God who dies for the sin of the sheep. He's both things at once. He's amazing. He died for you. And through dying on the cross, Jesus defeated all the wolves that would have ripped us apart. You know, there are wolves that would have ripped us apart like a wolf. Have you ever seen a wolf attack a sheep? I haven't, but I can imagine it's not a pleasant sight. I had friends in Orpington who had chickens, and a fox got the chickens, and there's not many chickens left. And I'm pretty sure that if a wolf attacks a sheep, it's a horrible sight. Well, there are wolves that would rip us apart had Jesus not died on the cross. The wolves are sin, death, judgment. But look at that picture. At the feet of the cross, the wolves are all dead. Jesus defeated the wolves that we cannot fight, because sheep can't defend themselves. Jesus tackled the wolves, and in doing so, stopped you and me being ripped apart. But it doesn't end there, does it? Because Jesus came back to life. It says in verse 17 and 18, I'll just pick out a few verses. It says, Jesus says, I lay down my life, that means he dies, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus chose to die. It wasn't the Romans that killed him. It wasn't the Jewish people. It wasn't Judas in the end. He chose to die on the cross for his sheep. And because he's completely sinless, death can't hold him. So he has authority to rise again. And our shepherd is alive today. What is the use of a dead shepherd? If a shepherd dies, the sheep, they're vulnerable. You have to have a shepherd that's alive, and Jesus is alive. He came back to look after you and me in all my silliness. He came back. Jesus went to the extremity of the cross. He died. He did the extreme sacrifice. He tackled the wolves head on and died in the process. But then he came back to look after you. He's alive. And I just want to encourage you, the best person you can follow is Jesus Christ. I just want to read a paragraph I wrote down. Jesus is alive because he is who he said he was, the Son of God. Wolves really have been defeated. The path to forgiveness and eternal life is open wide for you if you will obey the shepherd's call. He will not abandon the sheep. He knows the sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep. This is a shepherd worth following. This is a shepherd you can trust through the blackest of valleys. He won't let you down like others will. The King who said that your life is even more precious to him than his own. I hope that encourages you. That's God's shepherd heart for you. Amen. Praise the Lord.